Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. The new school year is expected to be the last for Christina School District's Wilmington schools, at least in their current configuration. For nearly 6 months last fall and winter, representatives from Christina, the state's Department of Education, and Governor John Carney's office engaged in frequently tense negotiations before finally signing a memorandum of understanding to reorganize city schools. So where do things stand now with that reorganization? We asked contributor Larry Nagengast to check in with those involved, and his piece updating the effort is available right now at DelawarePublic.org. And he joined me earlier this week to share what he learned.
So first, can you refresh people on exactly what the MOU is trying to accomplish with Wilmington Schools?
Well, okay, if you go back a couple of years into the Markell administration, you may remember the race to the top federal grant to improve performance of underperforming schools. Then came the labeling of schools with poor outcomes on state assessments as either focus schools or priority schools. Next came the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission proposals, and they didn't go anywhere. So what's going on here, trying to improve the schools in the Wilmington portion of the Christina School District, is the latest chapter in this long-running but so far inconclusive story. The Carney administration's handling of the issue has been a little gentler than the approach taken during the Markell years. Relatively speaking, there's been more discussion, more collaboration, and not quite as much heavy-handedness.
And the goal, I guess, right now is to try to reorganize the schools in the Christina School District's Wilmington area. How much has been completed to date on that effort to get the MOU in progress?
Well, you know, at this time last year, you might remember, the governor was actually knocking on doors in Wilmington, talking to Christina parents about what he'd like to accomplish. And following that, there were a series of public meetings, lots of negotiations involving the governor's office, the Department of Education, the Christina administration and school board, and the teachers union, with periodic input from community representatives and nonprofit organizations. It took 6 months, but in February, the parties agreed to a lengthy memorandum of understanding that actually took effect in the first week of March. Key points, two schools, Bancroft Elementary on Wilmington's east side and Byard Middle on the west side, would be renovated and reconfigured to serve grades 1 through 8 starting in the 2019-2020 school year. Kindergarten students would go to Stubbs Elementary, which would become what's called a dual generation center, with services for preschool and kindergarten children on the first floor and a variety of programming for adults upstairs. The other schools in the city, Pulaski and Elbert Palmer, would be mothballed or repurposed, and both Bancroft and Byard would get student health centers as part of the upgrade. One more thing, and this is very important, the schools in the city would have a longer school day and a longer school year.
And they've, I guess, hit a couple of the initial benchmarks to get this thing going, but some major ones, some fairly significant ones, are due to be completed now or shortly. First being a bit of more of a roadmap to reorganization. What's expected there?
Well, there's a Friday deadline, August 31st, on this one, for the district and the Department of Education to produce a plan that describes the steps needed to transform Bancroft and Byard into facilities that'll serve grades 1 through 8. But this is, you know, expected to be more of an outline, a planning document, another piece of here's what we've got to do over the next 6 to 9 months to make all those happen. The details, you know, the things like how to actually reassign the students and teachers, the timelines for renovating the buildings, what new services to offer, all of that stuff are the things that are going to be worked out once this document that's due on Friday is produced.
The next milestone is scheduled for mid-September, a deal with Christina teachers, and that seems to be more daunting. What do we know about this piece, and what are some of the key issues that perhaps are in the way of getting it done?
Well, okay, the important point here, as with many of the other milestones that are set out in the MOU, is if this deadline isn't met and the agreement can't be reached, any of the parties can pull out, and that could potentially kill the whole deal. And this next step has the potential to be a killer, not because there are obvious signs of disagreement, but because we're moving into totally uncharted territory. Teachers and school boards have engaged in collective bargaining in Delaware for 50 years or so, but to my knowledge, there's never been any negotiation over getting teachers to work more than 185 days a year or for hours beyond the length of the traditional school day. So you've got a time issue to negotiate, and then there's money, because nobody reasonably expects teachers to work longer hours or more days in the year without getting significant pay increases. And there's no way of knowing whether the extra money that the state has committed to support Christina is going to be enough to pick up the additional costs. Furthermore, the outcome of these negotiations is going to mean that there'll be one set of working conditions for Christina's teachers who were assigned to schools in Wilmington and another set for those who are working in suburban schools. And keep in mind, too, that in Delaware, as in most other parts of the country, the least experienced teachers tend to wind up in city schools whose children have the greatest needs, and the more experienced teachers gravitate to middle-class suburban schools where the students tend to produce far fewer challenges. Neither side has talked very much about what progress they've made so far, but there are so many unknowns, so many hurdles, that you really have to wonder whether they can reach an agreement in the next 2 weeks. I asked Union President Darren Tyson about the situation, and he summed it up very simply in two words: I'm praying.
So why is the extended day and extended year so critical to the whole process? Because, I mean, clearly, if that wasn't part of the process, there probably wouldn't be this kind of difficulty reaching an agreement with the teacher.
Well, you're right about that. But, I mean, we do know low-income children and English language learners, two demographic groups that account for a majority of children in city schools, fall about a year and a half behind middle-class peers by the third grade and 3 years behind by the eighth grade. We also know that many of these children have only one parent at home, and that parent, if she or he has a job, may have to work in two places to make ends meet. So there's less time for supervision, for help with homework, for all those things that middle-class families take for granted. While Delaware has little experience with longer school days, I mean, some charter schools do use them, and so did some of the schools during that Race to the Top grant period, there is some evidence here, and more in other states, that longer school days can help close that achievement gap. And as for the longer school year, we also know about summer learning loss. We talked about that here last week, and how low-income kids lose ground during vacation periods. And as we discussed last week, Delaware's Summer Learning Collaborative program this summer helped about 2,700 kids combat summer learning loss and even make progress in improving their own reading skills.
And your piece suggests that some other entities like that could play a part in this concept going forward with Christina, too. Correct?
Yes. I mean, to say it takes a village, that's become pretty much a cliche. But the expectation is that teachers aren't going to carry the full load for the longer day and the longer year. Programs like the Summer Learning Collaborative, with its Tyler's Camp initiative for middle school students, are interested in working with Christina during the summer. Organizations like the YMCA, Boys and Girls Clubs, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and Junior Achievement already provide some support to schools. The question becomes, how do you harness these resources? How do you bring those personnel into the building on a regular basis later in the day? And how to coordinate that with the school curriculum to create meaningful wraparound programs that provide additional instruction and basic skills, help with homework, and offer enrichment activities that do enhance learning?
So with these negotiations ongoing and plans being developed for reorganization, there are some concrete efforts that are underway right now to help students in these schools, including a professional development initiative for teachers using a poverty simulation exercise. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, yeah, the Delaware State Education Association last year received a $250,000 three-year grant from its parent organization, the National Education Association, to provide trauma-informed training for teachers who are working in high-poverty schools. They did a poverty simulation for Christina teachers at Bayard last week after doing the same exercise in June for a group of Red Clay teachers. In brief, during this simulation, the teachers spent close to 2 hours role-playing what it would be like to live in poverty for a month, not making enough money, having limited access to transportation, struggling to pay the bills on time, putting off doctor's visits because you need the money to buy food. For many of them, this simulation was really an eye-opening experience.
So let's kind of put a bow on this whole thing. What is the general mood about the future of this MOU from those you talk to? Is there optimism, despite some of these hurdles that are in the way right now, that this can get done and actually move forward where others have not?
Well, I mean, nobody's saying that it can't. Certainly what's going on here is less ambitious than some of the ideas that were breached by the Markell administration and by the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission. So I'd have to say, yeah, there's cautious optimism here. No one wants this initiative to fail. No one wants to back out. But there are legitimate questions about whether the funding will be sufficient, whether it's really the best approach to put grades 1 through 8 in the same building, whether educators and nonprofits can collaborate successfully on a large scale, and whether, when all is said and done, whatever this outcome is, will turn out to be better for the children. We've got one more year of planning to get it started, and then it's going to take a couple of years to see what actually happens. So let's just hope that we're back here 3 or 4 years from now and we do have something good to talk about.
Thanks to contributor Larry Nagengast for his time on The Green this week. Again, his update on work to reorganize Christina School District's Wilmington schools is available right now at DelawarePublic.org. And stay with us. We resume our candidate conversations in the race for U.S. Senate. That's next on The Green here on Delaware Public Media.